Markets, dollar's down a bit. It's down at 101, so it's down a little bit more than 1% for the year. Long Treasury TLT ETF is now up almost 0.9% for the year. The intermediate's flat. Corporate bonds are flat. Junk's up about a little bit more than a half a point. The S&P now up 1% for the year. Home builders up 0.6%. Europe doing better. Europe looks so much more attractive than domestic because domestic is so high. European ETF, VGK up 1.65%, Germany up 2.42%, developed markets away from North America up 2.3%, China large caps up 5%, small caps up 3.75%, emerging markets up 3.8%. So despite the strong dollar, they seem to be doing well, although again, the dollar dropped off a little bit since the beginning of the year. Commodities index up a quarter of a point, and gold and silver flying. We came above we held the 1100 line, and now we're above 1200 on gold. So, big topic tonight in the equity overview. Will the long-term bull reassert in precious metals? And we'll see. But silver up 6.7%. And gold up almost 4.75%. Well, the World Economic Forum is meeting at Davos. The Chinese president spoke. They're grousing about cash again. If you look at they're grousing about cash last year and all the damage their push to get everybody off of cash did. What they've done in India, I believe, is an absolute crime. But anyway, Joseph Stiglitz, the trader, is talking about how you need to get everybody off cash because it'll stop corruption. It's just going to increase corruption. So we'll have centralized corruption, no little corruption. Anyway, so it's not a bad idea to make sure you have plenty of cash and small bills. Who knows what these idiots will do. It's also another reason to make sure you have a core position in bullion and plenty of inventory. But any impact you can have politically to reject the notion of no cash, it's a very bad idea. Le Pen is now leading in the polls in France, not surprisingly, but it sort of indicates the trend continues. And again, we have France, Netherlands, and Germany all in 2017. The Prime Minister in England, May, clearly has her hands full on Brexit. There's a great quote from her presentation in Davos. She said, "I'm determined to stand up for free markets, free trade, and globalization, but also to show how these forces can work for everyone." Very good point. I mean, it's equivalent to what I say about we need growth in both labor and human productivity. The challenge, in my opinion, is you have a lot of people in Davos who talk a great game, but they don't believe in free markets. They believe in government guarantees and subsidies for themselves and their companies, and then markets for the deplorables. Anyway, so the part of the challenge is if you look at the extraordinary complexity of sort of designing and negotiating a Brexit, in some sense, it's very hard to get that much complexity into a consensus that can hold still long enough to do a deal. So it wouldn't surprise me if the details literally force May to do a hard Brexit, but we'll see. Everybody's shouting about they want details, but if you look at the complexity of it's not so easy to do. Soros says that the UK is in denial over Brexit and that May won't last. I don't agree. I think Soros is in the business of making a real fool of himself right now. We're having fun in the Philippines. Duterte now is blocking large child porn sites. And it's interesting because you have Putin in his Christmas speech come out hard against the corruption in the West, including the pedophilia. And now the Philippines, jumping on board. Let's see if it catches. There's a new report out from the Department of Education on student loans. Let me just read to you from the Wall Street Journal. It's a very serious comment on the real economy. Quote, "Many more students have defaulted on or failed to pay back their college loans than the U.S. government previously believed." Last Friday, the Education Department released a memo saying that it overstated student loan repayment rates at most colleges and trade schools and provided updated numbers. When the Wall Street Journal analyzed the new numbers, the data revealed that the department previously had inflated the repayment rates for 99.8% of all colleges and trade schools in the country. The new analysis shows that at more than 1,000 colleges and trade schools, or about a quarter of the total, at least half of the students had defaulted or failed to pay down at least a dollar on their debt within 7 years. The changes could have implications for federal policy. Some lawmakers are endorsing the idea of punishing colleges if enough students aren't paying back the loans. A spokeswoman for the Education Department said the program resulted from a technical programming error. That is hard to believe. Anybody familiar with a portfolio like that could look at the numbers and know they were wrong if that was the case. So whatever's going on, that was hooey. You notice that the truth came out after the election.